Thanks to Indeed for supporting the Productivity Show. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. Get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through March 31st. Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting the Productivity Show. Stop handling over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants to mine your activity and sell off your information. Go to expressvpn.com/TPS. You can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. We'd also like to thank Blinkist for supporting the Productivity Show. Blinkist condenses the best key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books down to just 15 minutes. Try Blinkist free for 7 days and save 25% on your new subscription at Blinkist.com/TPS. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, today, I'm joined by Paul Maskell, a business coach helping home service business owners systematize and scale their businesses. He's also a big productivity nerd, like the rest of us, and we dove into his personal productivity system, how he uses buffer blocks, why he wakes up every day at 5 a.m., and how he delegates things within his family life. And that is something that really shocked me, and something that I think you will really enjoy as well, learning from him. Because you can learn a lot from other people on what's working for them, and this episode is no different, and I'm really excited to share Paul's productivity systems with you here today. You can find links to everything that we share on the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/335. And now, on with the show. We are back for another episode of The Productivity Show. With me, I have Paul. How are you doing today, bud?
Doing well, Tan. How are you?
I'm doing very well today. I just got a haircut, so I'm feeling good about
Likewise.
Myself.
I'm in the same boat, feeling good.
Yeah, after some time, some people haven't had a haircut for a while. It's nice to be able to get back and get a fresh cut here. But that is not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is going to be really about you and how you get stuff done. And I'm really curious to learn about your personal productivity system. But before we start diving into your story, one of the things we always like to do on The Productivity Show is share some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. So maybe, Paul, in 90 seconds or less, can you share some of your favorites?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say the number one thing that I work completely off my calendar. Everything that I do is on my calendar. And the one productivity tool I could recommend, I'm sure others have recommended as well, is but Calendly. So it allows me to schedule podcast interviews, meetings, interviews, coffee, whatever it is with people that want to meet with me or I want to meet with, I can just send them my calendar link and then they can sort it out instead of the back and forth email. And then I use Asana. So for the couple of businesses that I'm working with and running, we use Asana to manage all our projects, keep on task, get more stuff done. And so everyone knows what everyone's working on. And then as far as a book, a really good book for me that has kind of changed the way I was, you know, doing things or seeing things is The One Thing. Just trying to avoid those bright, shiny objects and stay focused on what's actually important.
Awesome. We'll have links to all of that here in the show notes. So if you missed it, don't worry. We're going to have links to everything. So we're going to make it really easy for you. So Paul, for those who don't know who you are, can you share a little bit about you, your story, and what you're up to?
Yeah. So on a day-to-day basis, I run a couple of local businesses here in the Raleigh area. And then I also am a small business coach and consultant, helping small business owners get more stuff done, be more productive, automate and systematize their business so they can do what they really want to do in this world. And, you know, never thought I'd be doing that. Grew up and, you know, everyone told me go to school, get good grades, get a good job. So I got a finance degree from the University of Michigan, moved to Chicago and started working in the finance world. And that was probably my first introduction into, you know, how can I get more stuff done in less time? I was probably naive at the time. I know I was naive at the time because I could get all my work done by like lunchtime. And I was dumb enough probably to tell my manager that. So basically they just kept giving me more work and I thought they'd pay me more, but they never paid me anymore. But I love different pieces of technology. I love spreadsheets. I love Excel. And I use, you know, all that in my day-to-day basis to get more stuff done in less time, be more productive, and not just get more stuff done, but more of the right things done, I should say, you know, using concepts like the one thing. So long story short, the finance world just wasn't for me. I loved the work. I just didn't love working in the corporate world every day. So I quit that job, moved down to North Carolina, where I still am today, live in Raleigh. Been down here about 10 years. And that's when I started my first kind of entrepreneur journey. And that was really cutting my teeth on how do I get more stuff done and how do I streamline, systematize, automate this business? Because at one point I was, you know, working the 80 hours a week and I knew it wasn't sustainable. So I know we can dive into all the good hacks, tips, tricks, what to do, what not to do. But, you know, once I was working 80 hours a week, I knew I had to put systems and processes in place. Otherwise, it just wasn't sustainable. And I had, you know, had basically created an overwhelming job for myself. So through trial and error, using all the great technology that you can get off the shelf, you know, really systematized, automated a lot of things, put a team in place to help run it, eventually sold that business and have been kind of rinse and repeating ever since then. I've done it since with another business. And like I said in the intro, right now I'm a partner in a landscaping business. And we also just launched a camper van business where we're taking like Sprinter vans, outfitting them, turning them into campers, and then renting them out. So those are my two local businesses at the moment. And then I also help small business owners on a day-to-day basis as well.
Awesome. I'm really excited to start diving in here and kind of like get nerdy about certain things here. Because I know you're a very tech-savvy and process-oriented person. And you love systems. And that's what we're all about here at Asian Efficiency as well. But one of the things you brought up earlier is the one thing. It's not only in the book, but it's also just a concept of being able to focus on just one thing at a time. Can you kind of share how that book impacted you and how you implement it on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, there's distractions everywhere. And we always think it's like the next best thing, or we think this issue is important, but it might not actually be important. So what that really helped me do is kind of became like a filter of, is this important? Is this a bright, shiny object? Should I pursue this? Or is this just going to pull me off track and get me further away from where I want to go? So that's what it, you know, really helped me, because I think even when we, you know, no matter whoever's listening to this, if you're an employee or an entrepreneur, you know, things are always coming at you and we kind of have to determine on the fly, like, is this actually important or am I just making this up and making it feel like a big deal, or is my manager making it feel like a big deal? So I really use it as kind of a filter on a day-to-day basis of, do I need to do this? If so, do I need to do this right now or can it wait, you know, or is it just, let's get rid of it altogether, don't pursue it type of deal? So for me, combining that along with kind of my vision and mission, that really becomes the ultimate filter of what do I actually need to do today and what do I not need to do today? Because that's just as important.
So when it comes to figuring out your most important thing, how do you determine that? Is that based on like your number one priority at work, or do you look at your goals every day? Like how do you kind of like filter out stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tan. So I'm a big fan of the 12-week year by Brian Moran, which is basically getting more stuff done in 12 weeks than most people get done in 12 months. And it's the concept of, you know, setting 12-week goals more or less instead of year-long goals. Because what happens with year-long goals is we don't really take action on them until like October or November because we feel we have so much time. And then by that time, we're like, this really isn't attainable. I'm just going to make this my New Year's resolution for next year. So, you know, I have my bigger vision of what I really want to create. What do I want to do in this world? What is my, you know, personal philanthropic and professional kind of visions and missions? What I want to accomplish in those different areas of my life? And then working backwards to something like the 12-week year, where then I just have like two or three goals for the next 12 weeks. And, you know, almost all of my actions should be mapping to that. If not, then I have like a spreadsheet where I just track things that would be nice to do, but I'm not going to do them right now for the next 12 weeks, just because I know in order to get to these goals, which will get me to my eventual year-long goal, my three-year goal, my five-year goal, I need to stay focused on this. So I have actually have a whiteboard right over here. It was back there. Had to move some things around with that bookshelf. So it's right here right now. And I just track things every week. What are my, if anybody follows the 12-week year, there's things called lead indicators and lag indicators. And lead indicators are things you need to do every day, you know, to get to where you want to go. And then lag indicators are how do you measure the results of those actions? So, you know, for me, it's doing podcast interviews, it's speaking at events, it's engaging in social media. Those are kind of my lead indicators. And then my lag indicators are You know, how many client calls do I have? How many offers have I made? How many people actually enrolled into, you know, my coaching program? So tying all that in, it just kind of stares at me in the face every day. What I found personally is when I was tracking this on a spreadsheet, I would kind of forget about it for too long. And then I just wouldn't do anything. So at least when I walk in my office every day, it's sitting right here, you know, on a whiteboard that I can, you know, really be reminded every day that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, that's what I tell people all the time too. Out of sight, out of mind. So if you don't make your goals visible, you just don't often pay attention to it enough unless you have like a daily reminder or something, or you have like a calendar event that just repeats itself every day for you to say, hey, you know, you got to check your goals. And I like your approach too, which I have here too. I have a whiteboard here as well that has all my goals laid out. And so even when I'm not thinking about my goals, even just if I take a glance at it, it just reminds me of like, oh, this is what I really should be focusing on. Whatever I'm doing right now is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, and I'm a spreadsheet person. I got spreadsheets for everything. But what I realized was doing my goals in there, like you said, out of sight, out of mind. So I have it here. And then what's nice with this as well is it holds me accountable to other people that see it. So if my wife comes in here, she's like, oh, how come you only did X amount of revenue this week? Why didn't you do your goal? Like, you know, so it does also hold me accountable because I'm sharing it with the world. And if you can put yourself out there with your spouse, your family, your coworkers, a mastermind, a networking group, and share your goals together, then there's that extra layer of accountability as well. So they can kind of keep pushing you, because we as business owners, we can always make excuses that sound really good in our head, but they really are just excuses. So that accountability piece is also pretty important.
Hiring is one of the most important things I do at Agent Efficiency. The right hire can be a game changer for the company, but hiring people the old way leads to a lot of wasted time and frustration. Hire great people faster with Indeed. Only pay for results and get back time in your schedule. Indeed.com is the hiring site that helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match, so you can do the part that you really need faster, meeting and hiring great people. Unlike some other hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. With Indeed, there are no long-term contracts. You can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to help you show you great candidates instantly. With Instant Match, you see a list of great candidates with zero wait. And Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. This is Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at indeed.com/TPS. Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is, most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many of ISPs lock your internet activity and sell that data on to other big tech companies or advertisers. Now, to prevent ISPs from seeing my activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see any of your activity. Just think about how much of your life is on the internet. Every site you visit, video you watch, or message you send gets tracked by ISPs and other tech giants who can then sell your information for profit. Now, that's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. I like how ExpressVPN comes with an app for every device I use. Mac, Windows, iOS, Android, Linux, routers. There's even VPN for Chromebooks, smart TVs, and game consoles. I use a lot of different types of devices, so I love how easy it is on every single platform. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/TPS. That is expressvpn.com/TPS to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/TPS right now to learn more. Want to know what one of the most useful apps is on my phone? It's not a task manager or a calendar app. It's Blinkist. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down in just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. In fact, with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute or your lunch break or while you exercise. For example, I live in downtown Austin and I spend a lot of time on my balcony just looking out over the city. I find it really calming and I like to use Blinkist to review a book I've read in the past, or I'll check out new books and figure out if I want to read them in more detail later. I like seeing what's popular on Blinkist, so I've been diving into The Algebra of Happiness by Scott Galloway. After all, I always say happy people are productive people. In their productivity section, check out the new Corner Office by Laura Vanderkam. Remote work is a huge topic now, for obvious reasons, and with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to blinkist.com/TPS, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/TPS to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at blinkist.com/TPS. So a question I get very often is, should you make your goals public and let other people know about it, or should you keep it private? And I'm kind of curious to hear what your take on this. And it sounds like you are sharing this with your wife and there's some sort of transparency there.
Yeah, so I would say it's probably somewhere in the middle, at least my opinion. I wouldn't put it out to the whole world, you know, put it on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram. Hey, these are my goals, you know, but I do share them with them. And I'm also a huge fan of masterminds. That's what I run for my clients. So we track each other's goals. We set our goals for every week. We set our 12-week goals. So we share them with an intimate group. We become vulnerable because, in my opinion, in my experience, the more vulnerable we get with the people we trust, the more progress we're going to make, because we're really putting our whole selves out there. And then they are going to help us get to where we want to go. And we're going to help ourselves because we are, you know, now we have that extra layer of accountability. So, you know, I do like sharing them with other people. I'm not saying share them with the world, but if you have that trusted group of advisors, that board of directors, you know, that group with you that are your trusted coworkers, whoever it is, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm pretty close to guarantee that you'll get better results.
So Paul, what does a typical workday then for you look like? I know you're big about, you know, systems, automation, process. Is your life pretty routine? Is it very scheduled? Like how does your typical day kind of flow?
Yeah, so it's very scheduled. So when I think when most people kind of start their own business or they got their side hustle going, we think we don't want to have boundaries. We want the freedom to do what we want, where we want, when we want, you know, with who we want type of mentality. And I kind of had the same mentality until I started to realize that the stronger the boundaries, the more freedom that we actually have. So my day is very structured. So I actually do my schedule every Friday for the week before, and it kind of looks like this. And then as I go along the day, I highlight the things that I've done. So super structured. So my day, I get up at 4 a.m. every day. I still get my 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but I get up at 4 and I have about 4 until 6 or 6:30 to myself. So usually it's about 30 minutes of reading, and then I'll jump in to get some work done. And when COVID is not around, I would go to the gym 2 or 3 days a week during the week. But then my daughter, she's 4. She gets up about 6 or 6:30. So from that time until I get home from dropping her off to preschool, which is usually about 8:30, we hang out, we make breakfast, she watches her show, we get ready, and I take her to school. And then I work from about 8:30 until 4:30. So at 4:30, my wife gets home with her daughter. And what goes on throughout those days is pretty regimented. So today we're recording on a Tuesday. Tuesday is kind of my podcasting day, if you want to call it that, mostly. So I've done 2 or 3 interviews today. I had a couple coaching calls. So I have Monday, I go into one of the businesses that I run, that I'm a partner in. Tuesday is kind of my day. Wednesday is my mastermind day. So that's when I run my mastermind programs for my clients. Thursday is set aside for it's partly me, partly a business that I partner in. So I do some content, some podcasting on Thursdays. And then I also go work with the business. And then Friday is kind of my day to get everything wrapped up, get ready for the next week. And then I do some, I also have about 3 or 4 hours set aside for the camper van business. So it's pretty regimented, but I would say it's always changing. So I don't set it in stone. When I start to feel I need to spend more time with something, or I can back away from something, or I can delegate something, I always kind of readjust. But basically, I'm working from 8:30 to 4:30 and then hanging out with family after that. So I don't really do any work in the evenings. Our daughter goes to bed about 7:30 and I'm sleeping by about 8:30. So my wife and I will hang out for 30 minutes to an hour, catch up on the day, and then we're both sleeping before 9 o'clock. So still get plenty of sleep, but getting up at 4 a.m. for me, especially with a young child in the house, just allowed me to get my day off and running instead of waking up stressed out in a hurry, you know, and feeling like I'm already behind before I even get started.
Have you always been an early riser? Because I know people can become early risers, and oftentimes we are forced sometimes to do it. But I'm curious to hear, are you somebody who's always woken up pretty early, or something you taught?
Yeah, so I would say it's been kind of an evolution. So when I worked in the corporate world, I wasn't an early riser. I mean, I didn't sleep in late, but I probably got up about 7:30, got on the bus about 8:30, and then headed downtown to the office when I lived in Chicago. And then once I quit my job, moved down to Raleigh, my wife actually worked at the hospital, so she was working the 7 to 7 shifts. So she would get up about 5:30. So that's when I kind of started getting up at her time. And I kept that time until we had a child. And then I just realized that I had to get up a little bit earlier, you know, just from a pure productivity, mental health state, kind of taking care of myself and getting my day off and running before jumping into the world of parenting. So it's been a progression, and it's always kind of, you know, ebbs and flows, but in general, that's kind of my day. And then, like I said, every Friday afternoon, I kind of go in, look at my calendar, and kind of map out my schedule for the following week so I can put in all the things that I need to do. Plus I have like strategy blocks and buffer blocks and times that I work on marketing or podcasting and kind of fill it all in to make sure I accomplish everything I need to do.
So let's talk about tools then. So when it comes to like a to-do list, a calendar, like what kind of tools do you use? You kind of mentioned you use like a whiteboard as well. Like, are there any other digital or physical tools you like to use to stay productive?
Yeah, so definitely, like we talked about, Calendly is huge. That's where a lot of people schedule their times with me. My Google Calendar has got everything in it. So, you know, that blocks off times. It's got reminders for certain things. I'm a huge fan of not having to remember anything. So using my Google Calendar to remind me to do everything. And then, like I said, I have this calendar that I've been working off of for a while. It's just an Excel document that has basically all of my time blocks done. So from what do I do from 4 to 4:30, 4:30 to 6, 6 to 8:30. And then what do I do between the workday of 8:30 and 4:30? And then just kind of chunks it down into every hour. So a huge fan of time blocking, you know, and really setting aside that dedicated time to get stuff done that might not be the most fun thing to do or things that would be easy to blow off. So, you know, what I found didn't work for me is putting those time blocks in my Google Calendar, because the notification would pop up and then I would just hit like snooze or dismiss and then I would never do it. So for me, I needed to print it out so that way I get the gratification of crossing things off that it actually did. So when I look at the end of the day, ideally at least 90% of the things that I set out to do actually got done.
And what happens then if something didn't get done? Does it get rolled over to the next day? Because I know you mentioned your days are kind of themed. And so If something doesn't get done on, let's say, a Monday when you're involved with that business, does that then get caught up on Friday, or do you wait till next week when you then start focusing on that business again? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really depends. I guess I'm kind of the ultimate filter on what is the urgency. If it's something that needs to be done, but it can be done throughout the week, then yeah, I could move it to Friday. And I do also set aside like kind of buffer blocks. So like tomorrow from 10 to 11:30, I kind of have an open window to work on something that might come up. So I can always pop things in there. The other thing that I do is things that come up throughout the week, I just make a list of what those things are. I need to get done maybe in the month of August, but I don't need to get done this week. And then when I go to fill out my schedule the following week, I kind of plug those things into different spaces. So yeah, so if something doesn't get done, I determine the sense of urgency on it. And, you know, I also kind of look at the opportunity cost of why did it not get done? You know, if a potential client wants to schedule a call and they're only available from this time, and that's probably a better opportunity than, hey, maybe I forgot to post on LinkedIn today, or maybe I didn't, you know, put out an Instagram post, but I brought on a new client. So kind of the opportunity, you know, weighing the opportunity cost in my head as well is always there. So yeah, I'm always kind of keeping track of it. And if something doesn't get done and it still needs to get done, I'll look at when does it need to get done and then find a place to do it. So I do like to leave a lot of room in my schedule to kind of breathe, because what I learned is previously, and it's kind of an evolution as well, but I historically had always underestimated the amount of time it took to do something, and I wouldn't leave any like buffer in between. So it'd be like, okay, this should take an hour, but then it takes an hour and a half and there was no buffer. So now I'm 30 minutes behind, and then I get further behind and it's just kind of stressed out. So, you know, using that concept as well, I think it's from the 12-week year as well, kind of the buffer zones and strategy blocks and stuff like that has definitely helped relieve the stress and really probably allow me to focus even more.
Yeah, I think those buffer blocks are really underrated. And I know in the 12-week year, they talk a lot about that. And I think since you use Calendly as well, I think one of the best settings you can put in there is to have buffer blocks before and after bookings. So for example, in my personal settings, I have a 30-minute buffer block before any call and then 30 minutes after as well. So I can do any sort of prep work if needed before the call. And then as soon as the call ends, assuming we finished on time or even finished early, at least I have some time to write up some notes or follow up with something. And I find that super helpful, because if you have back-to-back-to-back-to-back calls, which I know a lot of people in corporate world have, you just feel so burned out. It's like you miss follow-ups. Anytime there's something that you need to do after a meeting, you oftentimes don't have the time to do it, and then you forget, and then things just keep moving forward, but in a bad way, because you're just behind in so many ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, having that downtime to kind of gather your thoughts, whether it's putting them on paper and putting them in an email, going, just standing up and getting a drink of water instead of just pounding it all out all day. And then by the day's over, you don't even really remember what any of those calls were about. You didn't have time to collect your thoughts. So having that buffer block, you know, to me, even though you're technically doing less, I feel like I get way more done, and there's a lot more clarity and a lot less stress, you know, just because of the time in between everything.
It sounds like the way you structure your week, Friday is really important because you're kind of setting yourself up for the next week. But what happens when you miss a Friday? Let's say you get sick or you go on a vacation or something. I know life happens, right? And nothing is always perfect. So I'm always curious to hear how other people handle adversity or when something doesn't go according to plan. What do you do then?
Yeah, so I know we had kind of talked about before the show too, kind of the work-life balance, or if that is even a thing. What I've found I normally do when something like that happens, like you said, whether it's I got sick or something came up or I got to go do X, Y, and Z and Friday just isn't there, probably about once a month, I'll stay up late one night on the weekend after my wife, after our daughter has gone to bed, and just put on music, get a cup of coffee, and work for like 3 or 4 hours. And I know I don't have to get up at four in the morning the next day and just get a lot of that stuff done. Cause for me, I rather get it done and not have that stress or hanging over my head like, oh, I never did that. So yeah, things don't always go as planned. And for me, I really enjoy that. Turn on some music, drink some coffee, you know, work from 9 to 1, you know, 9 PM to 1 AM, and then still go get my sleep. And, you know, usually I'll do it on a Friday. So that way I still have all Saturday and Sunday, and I'm not, you know, dragging too much. So it definitely does happen, you know, and I try not to put anything on my Friday. So like looking at my Friday schedule, I'm really done by 6:30 in the morning on Friday, more or less. And then whatever might come up, whether things come up throughout the week, or if I have to miss that Friday and I do have 3 or 4 hours of work, then I'll do kind of the evening work, you know. And if I have to do it, like I probably only work a couple weekend days a year, but communicating with my wife, like, hey, I just got to get a lot of stuff done. And she knows it's not the norm. It's not one of those things, oh, just one more time. So I try and limit that, you know, very, very limited. So I do like kind of the evening work. I'm still super productive and there really are no distractions at that time.
So speaking of work-life balance, then, is that kind of your way of going about it? Say, hey, I'm going to work really hard Monday through Thursday, kind of keep it easy on Friday. And then Saturday, Sundays, like I don't do any work whatsoever.
Yeah, I would say so. And I wasn't always that way. You know, having a family kind of changes that. And that's also what we're striving for, is, you know, to build these businesses so they don't need me 24/7. So I don't know if there's such thing as work-life balance. You know, whether you really love your job or you really love what you're doing, they all kind of intermingle, and I'm okay with that. Corporate wasn't for me. So like, I had really good work-life balance in corporate, because right when 5 o'clock came, I was out of there and I didn't think, talk about work at all. But I didn't really enjoy what I was doing from, you know, 8 to 5 or 8 to 6. So now I enjoy everything and it's more synergetic. And a friend of mine told me, he said, it's physically speaking, like in physics, something in balance doesn't move. So when you are in balance, you're actually not really making a lot of progress. So we're going to have to push and get unbalanced in different areas of our life at different times. So, you know, maybe your marriage is struggling and you got to push on that. So then you're going to be unbalanced. You're going to be spending more time with your family, but that's what you need to do. And vice versa. If you want to really have a successful career, successful businesses, there are going to be times where you have to push and be out of balance. So I'm okay with that. I think the key is making sure everyone around you, whether it's your, you know, your spouse or your coworkers or your teammates, they know that too. And everybody's on the same page and everybody understands. So, you know, so that way it does make sense. So yeah, so I don't really, you know, believe in total work-life balance. I'm more of a fan of just loving what I do every day. And a lot of our conversations on the weekends are about business, but I'm not pounding it out either, because I've kind of taken the time to put the systems and processes and people in place so that way I can do other things.
Now, when it comes to processes and systems, I mean, we can talk hours and hours about this, especially in a business context, because there's just so many areas where you could do this. But I'm interested to hear about this on a personal level. Are there any things that you like automate? Is there like a process you kind of develop for yourself to make things easier? Like, what are some of your personal stuff there?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say, you know, my wife and I, we put everything on our calendar. So that way we always know what each other's doing. We don't have a shared like calendar per se, but everything that we're doing, we put it on a calendar, whether it's date night out, date night in. We do this thing where once a month, we each have our own day where we can go do whatever we want. We don't have any family responsibilities. So we put that on our calendar. So for that, for me, that's really big. And then I started, you know, we started thinking about what else can we delegate? Like we delegate a lot of stuff in our business, but what about in our life? So when our daughter was born, we hired a cleaning team to come clean our house. And what we pay them is way less than what it would cost us just in opportunity time, you know, of what is the opportunity cost if we cleaned our house versus them. They're going to do it quicker. They're going to do it better. And it gives us a day back. You know, we don't have to spend a day cleaning the house with a four-year-old. So that definitely was a big game changer just from the peace of mind and really looking at anything else that you can, you know, systematize, automate, whether it's ordering your groceries online. We do a lot of that. To make our lives even easier, we bought a freezer and bought a half of a cow. So we got a whole bunch of meat, so we're good. We don't have to worry about that. So just trying to find little things to make our lives easier so we can spend more time doing what we really want to do instead of things that we have to do that somebody else might be willing to do. So, you know, people taking care of the yard, that type of stuff. I always had the mindset of like, why would I pay somebody to do these things when I can do it myself? But as we've continued on in this journey, you know, what we can pay somebody is way cheaper than what our time is worth.
Yeah, I really love that, because as soon as you just start to realize how valuable your own time is and you truly live up to that, then you start to identify all these opportunities of, hey, why am I actually doing this? And you start to question certain thoughts that you have or beliefs you had about, well, why would someone else do this? I should be the one doing this. When in fact, if you really value your time, you start to see that, you know, maybe someone else could do my groceries, or we can do it online, or someone else could pick the avocado the way I want it, or clean your place and do the deep cleaning and so on. And so I really love hearing those examples, because I think a lot of people would benefit from just looking at opportunities to see where can I free up some time and really question ourselves and say, hey, do I really have to do this?
Yeah, for sure. And that was, you know, it's kind of an evolution as well there, because I was always the person that I can do it. Why would I pay somebody else? Even in my business, I was that way. And then once I started systematizing, delegating that, it's like, well, why don't I do that with stuff that I have to do every day that I don't really want to do? You know, and now there's so many great services out there. You know, if you want your car detailed, somebody will come to you to do it. Like it's such an on-demand, instantaneous world that we live in. Like if there's something you don't want to do, find somebody else that can do it, and they probably will make your life really easy. And throughout this whole pandemic coronavirus, now it's just been taken to the next level, because businesses have to adapt to that. So now you can buy a car without even having to go to a dealership. They'll bring it to you. You can test drive it at your house. you can sign for the papers right at your house, and it was quick and painless. So there's so many ways now that we can save time, you know, and really that is our most valuable asset. So we're always working on that to see how much time we can free up.
Yeah, I really love that mindset. And one thing that really helped me as I was growing Asian Efficiency and being involved with other businesses is, instead of figuring out how I can do this or how I can figure this out or what to do, really useful question to ask yourself is who can do this? So you answer the who question. And once you start to think about who can do this, like who can do the cleaning, who can help me do X, Y, and Z, who can help me launch this project? Instead of you figuring it out or studying and figuring out like what kind of skills you need to pick up, what if you answer the question of who can do this? And then you start to see how all the people can do this way better than you can, much faster, and oftentimes at the same rate, or if not more, at a more affordable rate. And so that's something that's been really helpful for me. And I'm sure you've seen that in your businesses as well.
For sure.
So Paul, I really enjoyed this interview here today. If people want to find out more about you, product services, your podcast that you have as well, where should people go?
Yeah, Tan, really enjoyed it. Really grateful for the opportunity to be here. I would say the best place, like you said, is a podcast. So I have a podcast of my own. You'll be a guest on there as well. And we talk to small business owners about how we can put, you know, the systems and processes in place to build a business that doesn't need you 24/7. So you can really scale a business that can thrive without you. So you can, you know, leverage your business to do what you really want to do in this world and build a life that you love. So that podcast is called Business Owners Freedom Formula Show. Search for it on whatever platform you're listening to. Interviewing guests every week, you know, kind of getting their tips, tricks, hacks that they, you know, whatever area expertise that they're in order to help us and help our listeners on that journey of building a business that doesn't need them 24/7. And if you want to connect with me outside of the podcast, my website would be the best place. Just go to paulmaskill.com. It's got training, it's got resources, and all my social links as well.
Awesome. We'll have links to all of that here in the show notes as well. And thank you again, Paul, for being on here. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure everyone loved it as well.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed it.
Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.